had getting up before daylight a good little bit. Then I usually get out, try to find out what we can do for the Lord. But I haven't been able to find too many people up at that time, and have to wait till about 8:30 or 9 o'clock before things start moving around, sometimes later. This morning I felt like the Lord wanted me to stay in, so I didn't get out. I was up, but I went and lay back down for a little bit. Sometimes he'll talk to me in the early morning. And so I went and lay back down, and of course I went off into a trance, or sleep-like, and he began to talk with me, as he's done so many times. And he began to show me some things, and I was over in a place. I couldn't really tell what it was. It was kind of like an arena, maybe where you would hold a big meeting or something. I don't know what it was. There was a number of things that took place before I found myself in this area. And I'm not sure just as to what they meant, but anyway, I eventually found myself there. And I turned and spoke to some people. I won't go through numbers of things that he talked to me about or showed me, but I turned and I spoke to some people. And I mentioned something about the Lord, and the next thing I knowed, I was dragging a line out like I was going to preach over it. You know, we got a cordless mic. The Lord has blessed us with a cordless mic, and it's a very fine mic, very expensive, and it's very efficient. Use it in the islands, but in this particular instance, I had one with the cord on it. So I was dragging it out to preach over to do something. But in the meantime, just prior to this, I said something about the Lord, and it was a number of women that was sitting here that was seemed to really take to what I said, and there's some men sitting over here, and so they said if we just had literature. At about that time, a young lady, I don't know who she was, dressed in a long dress, real neat and tidy, she raised up and said, "It's no problem," and she brought a whole stack of my literature, and she was one of the sisters that worked with us, and she just started passing them out. And when she did, as she passed out the books and the pamphlets, these people just began to scream out and holler, and just they were just tore up over this literature. And I kind of took off, you know, walking, getting away, and as I walked, I could hear this hollering and screaming like the people was gathering, and I thought, "Lord, I better get out of here as fast as I can." And they were carried away with the literature. It was so wonderful to them that as I was leaving, I said, "Oh my God," I thought in my heart, "the whole world's gonna come after me." And then we went on, and the vision changed around, and I came out of it. But I don't know where I was, I don't know what I was doing, and I don't know who it was that passed out the literature. But it obviously was some of our sisters that worked with us. Wherever we was at, they were there, which is the case sometimes. And it was a real stirring vision. What it has to do with, I don't know. But it must have some significance. The other night I had a kind of a strange sort of a vision. I think I had a couple of them that night, and some of them is when I'm down praying, and some of them is when I go lay down on my bed. Daniel said I dreamed, and the vision of my head troubled me. So I saw this vision, and it was like I was looking at a house. A lot of you have seen horror pictures in your lifetime, horror movies of Dracula and Frankenstein and all kind of things, you know, werewolf they call it. And I was looking, and this looked like a house of Frankenstein. And it's been a number of times in my life I've seen this. And I found myself in that house at times. I'd be this weird house, huge house, way off by itself. You know, and I'd find myself approaching this thing in the night and be weird. And then I'd find myself inside and there'd be all kind of long hallways and sliding doors and all kind of things where some just come out of the wall, you know. Horrible situation. But always in the vision, I had enough faith that I could elude anything. And always the monster would show up, sometimes Frankenstein or whatever, you know. So the other night I was seeing this, but it was different. I was on the outside, over across the way, and I looked, and it looked like some of our people was over in a yard, like beautiful yard. And I thought it was the house of Frankenstein behind them. But I thought the thing had been just completely remodeled. It was a beautiful home, and all the horror was taken out of it, and it was just beautiful, you know. And I was looking, I thought, now this is really amazing. I've never seen this before. So all of a sudden, I thought, well, I'll just examine this. I'll go over and I'll go through that thing, you know, because I'd been through a number of times in the thing when it was a place of horror. So I went through, and sure enough, it was beautiful. Everything was furnished beautiful. I thought, my, now this is just astounding. And then all of a sudden, I began to think while I was in there, and I began to think back as to what it was before it became what I was looking at. And then all of a sudden, when I did that, it looked like sliding doors started, you know. And I looked around me, and them doors started to slide, and they tried to catch me. And in my heart, I thought it was so full of the love of God and so full of faith that they couldn't trap me. One would close, and I'd be just outside of it before it could close. Then another tried to close in front of me, and I'd get through just before it closed. And finally, I found myself completely out of the house, standing out in the open. The last door had closed, and I was just standing out there, free as a bird, praising God because it couldn't trap me. And I thought, well, I wonder what the Lord is trying to tell me. And then all of a sudden, something spoke to me and said, what I'm trying to tell you is that this is a condition of mind. Said, you was in the house, everything was just fine. Said, and then all of a sudden, you started thinking in this direction, and then this house of horror begin to appear. And so then I came out of the vision and I pondered on it, and the Lord said to me, he said, what it is, son, said, when a person is born into the world, remember this now, folks, when a person is born into the world, said, their body, Peter referred to it as a house. If this house be dissolved, I have another and eternal in the heavens not made with hand. And said, their house is a house of horror. When they're born into the world, from the time they are a child on up, they are born with a house of horror. A person that is not a Christian, they've got a house, but it's a house of horror. And their spirit dwells on the inside of that house. The Bible refers of the inner man. And he lives on the inside, and he lives with fears and worries and anxieties and doubts and despondencies and sicknesses and all these horrible things. That demons present themselves in the form of thoughts. And these thoughts come into your mind. It's a state of mind. It is the mind that comes from the tree of knowledge. It is the mind of Satan. And it is interwoven with your being and bred. It's an infiltration within your being from your birth because of the sins of Adam and Eve. So then it's a house of horror. And you live with it. And a lot of people, they're tormented with nightmares. Before I became a Christian, I had so many nightmares. And they were so horrible. Until when I lay down at night, I wouldn't go to sleep on my own. I'd sit there until I was so weary I couldn't hold up my head. And then I'd fall over and go to sleep. And then I'd have nightmares. I dreaded to see night come because I could have some of the most hideous, horrible nightmares about graveyards and house of horrors and everything else. And not knowing, you know, I didn't know anything about God. That's why I told you that even after I married, me and my wife got married, I'd still nail the windows down. I'd nail them things down no matter what Betty said. I'd nail them down. I'd say, ain't nobody coming in here on me at night. And I was just eat up with fear and frustration. I couldn't help it. Or I felt like I couldn't help it. Like I said, I was afraid I'd see a ball of fire or something. because I heard my grandmother talk about them things. And for sure, if I was spiritual, I was in the other way. I was spiritual the wrong way. But anyway, that's what it is. See, it's a condition of mind. When I become a Christian and I begin to grow in faith, fears don't affect me. Frustrations don't affect me. I can sleep with the doors open or the windows open. I can sleep in the car and sleep out on the ground. Sleep in the night. I have just went out by myself. I'd get maybe Betty or her dad or somebody. I've done this a time or two. Just slip out in the night. When Betty was asleep, I'd slip out somewhere into the night. She wouldn't even know about it. I'd go out and pray, or I have had them take me out and put me way out in the woods, down by myself in the woods where nobody wasn't, and just let them leave me there, and I stay there all night. And of course, when you do that, you know, it looks like the devil makes the night as black as 90 black cats. Its sun goes out, the stars goes out, everything goes out, looks like. But anyway, I've done that because the Lord did something to me. He took fear and all these things out of my heart. But I used to be so afraid. But I didn't know until I really become a Christian that you are a house of horror. And you are filled with all of these devils and demons working within your flesh. Paul said this, within the flesh there dwelleth no good thing. And they just torment the life out of you, just day and night. You don't know it. You that are Christians, a lot of you that love the Lord. You don't know it. But there's young boys and girls, small ones, that's literally tormented till they can't hardly sleep. And some of these demons and devils, they're fear, some are murder, hatred, bitterness, millions of demons. Some of them are lust devils, some of them are bitter spirits, all kind of spirits, quarreling, fighting, whatever. You know, drinking, smoking, chewing, just deceitful, all kind of ugly devils. And it is a house of horror. And it's because of a state of mind. But when you are born again, the Bible said, be therefore transformed by the renewings of your mind. And God transformates your mind. The more you love Him, the more you serve Him, the more you talk with Him, the more your thoughts transformate. And He translates your spirit out of that world of darkness, that intellectual darkness, and He moves it into a world of light, an understanding of light. The Bible said, ye are children of light. This is why that I tell you, stay away from the television, stay away from the magazine, stay away from the newspapers. That is, when there's none virtuous things on them. The Bible said, if anything have any virtue in them, think on these. Anything be lovely, anything be pure. Build your thoughts, keep your thoughts, be jealous over your thoughts with a godly jealousy, so that you don't give them to any kind of worldliness or any kind of ugliness, any kind of fear or doubt, frustration. Don't let your heart be troubled. The Bible said, neither let it be afraid. Build up your faith, your most holy faith, by praying in the Holy Ghost. See, build up your faith by praying in God, talking with God. And the more you do it, the more peace you'll have. The Bible said, he that keepeth his mind stayed upon Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. So then when we have our minds in God, the Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. You have the mind of Christ. And the Bible said, all of the paths of God are peace. Serving God is joy, peace, righteousness, and the Holy Ghost. So then that's why I tell you to praise the Lord. Let yourself go in God. Because see, what happens is you get bound. You get bound to where the devil won't let you think. He won't let you speak. You know, he'll tell you you're going to think the wrong thing or speak the wrong thing. He won't let you do nothing. You're going to do the wrong thing. And you get so bound until you're afraid to move. You know, and you can't get out of praise, you can't get out of worship, you're under bondage, you're under fear, you're under condemnation, your life ain't worth 15 cents to you, it ain't worth living. You get up tight, as the world says, and you just can't have no life. But then when you break loose from that, you say, God, it don't matter how I feel, it don't matter what I think, it's what God said about me. I believe that, I'm going to trust in that with all my heart. You just scream out, hallelujah. You know, that's why people go to ball games, and that's why they go to the boxing and the wrestling. People get up tight in the world, and they get out at the wrestling rings, and they say, kill him, beat his brains out, you know, and they holler at the ball games, and they shake the soda pop, and they spew it all over everybody, you know, beat folks on the head with the newspaper and all these kind of things. They're hollering, going like a bunch of wild animals. They're trying to get loose. And they'll get them a little drink of wine on the plane when we're traveling. They'll pass the wine. But you can't find the Bible anywhere. And to buy Coca-Cola, they won't sell you a Coca-Cola. You know, you get your little swig, and then that's about it. But now the man that's guzzling beer and whiskey, well, they can just dish out the money, they pour it in, they'll come back. I watch them. And they'll come back and say, "You didn't drink that? Here's another one. Drink that." Down it goes, you know. And you see a woman sit down over, you know, they jam them all up together anyway. And here's the woman, she's somebody else's wife. You know, she's traveling somewhere and her husband ain't with her. And here's some woman's husband and he's traveling somewhere and the wife ain't with him. And so he sits down here and the devil that works all of these things after the counsel of his own will, he sees that they sit together. And if it's a man and wife, he'll split them up and set one over here and one over yonder. And they sit down here and they're just like this when they sit down. Just straight ahead, you know. And after a while, they pass the wine and they sip a little wine. And then they get a little bit friendly. And after a while, they're nudging each other. And after a while, they're talking to each other and leaning over on each other. And it's go wild. Wine makes the heart merry. And you'd think they'd known each other all of their life, you know. So, I said that to say this. That's the way that the devil does it. See, to get loose. To get loose. Get up tight, going to get loose. Somehow or another, they're going to get loose. You can start flying on that plane and they're just like executives. They're so polished and so thorough in their discipline, their way of life. And about midnight, it looks like all of them gone native. Looks like they're going crazy. And you have to sit and listen to it. I told Betty, I'm so glad that overseas a lot of times I don't understand their language because they're just going full blast. And I don't know what they're saying and I'm just thanking God for it. Because over here in America, it's horrible the way they talk. So they get loose. And we have the wine of the Spirit that maketh the heart merry. We have God's Spirit. We have His Spirit so that we can get loose. And somebody, you know, they want to sit there. They don't want to say nothing. They want to be real quiet, you know. At the ball games, it's all right. You know, you can scream and holler and do whatever you want to. Even the governor can do it. The president can do it. Anybody can do it. But now when we come to church, everybody must sit real quiet. You mustn't get out of order. You mustn't say anything, you know. It's all out of order if you do anything much more than breathe. Folks, we ought to know better than that. At Bethlehem anyway, we ought to know better than that. You know, people that love God, I don't care if you're Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, or whatever you are. Even Baptist folks, Presbyterian folks, Pentecostal folks, they used to love the Lord. We didn't come to church. We don't come to church, or they didn't come to church just to learn to be some kind of a book or some kind of a printed page so that they can go away with a book of quotes and quote and quote and quote and quote. You know, like Brother Branham, they got the wrong concept of Brother Branham. They got the idea he was some polished scholar that didn't say anything, you know, as to lifting his voice or people making a fuss. And they thought that's the kind of fellow he was. But you know what he was? They got to making tapes of Brother Branham, and he couldn't run and holler like a wild Indian and get it on tape, get it clear, so he had to learn to stay behind the desk. That's what it was. You said, "Well, I don't believe that." Well, that's what he said. See, he had to stay back there. And I've heard him say that when he was in the woods, sometimes he'd run and scream like a wild Indian. Well, whether he did or not, I run and scream like a wild Indian. Let's give the Lord a hand. I still believe in it anyway. But as far as I know, those men believed in God. They shouted and they praised God. And I don't mean that we got to go through the church and knock over the benches and walk the bench top and act like a bunch of heathens. I don't mean that. But I mean praising God. Can't you just imagine when John said everything in heaven and everything in earth and everything under the earth was praising God? Can't you just imagine him saying, "Hallelujah, glory to God"? Can't you just imagine doing that? I'll tell you right now, I'd love to hear what he heard, wouldn't you, Brother Taylor? They were probably screaming to the top of their voice, "Hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, long live the King, hallelujah, glory to God." I tell you, it probably ringed out through heaven and earth and everywhere. Somebody say hallelujah. So then that means that we come into his gates with thanksgiving. We come into his courts with praise. We're not going to let a bunch of devils bind us up and bind us up and bind us up to where we're afraid to say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. We're not going to get to the place to where we can't. If we feel like dancing in the Spirit, the Bible said praise God in the dance. If we feel like dancing in the Spirit and praising God in the Spirit, we're not going to get to the place where somebody is going to keep us from it. We're going to do it if we want to do it. I don't dance too much in the Spirit, you know, around you, but I dance in the Spirit.
Glory to God.
And I said, well, I don't see you dance very much, but you ought to be down in my home and my wife don't see me. Because sometimes, wherever I'm at and she ain't there, and I get the feeling the Holy Ghost, I dance like a wild Indian. And if she ain't there, I'll scream too. Scream like an eagle. I try to hold it down if she's in the other room, you know. Because she might not understand me too well. But anyway, sometimes I'm just riding down the road and I'm not screaming, I'm not dancing, I'm not hollering, and tears are just streaming and dripping in me. Because on the inside, I'm just a dancing and a hollering and a screaming and a praising God. You can do that too, can't you, Brother Joe? Let's give him another hand. Hallelujah. I love to feel an atmosphere of hallelujah. I love to see somebody come in with thanksgiving. I don't want to hear somebody there every time you go to sing, you know, like this. And some, we got some of them. I thank you, devil. I wish you'd shut up. Because there's nothing about it that glorifies God. It's an interference. And it's somebody, some old devil that's wanting attention, you know, or some old devil of interference. But I do love to clap my hands, and sometimes I clap them a little too loud. But I try to be moderate. The Bible should be moderate in all things, you know. And I don't like to hear somebody sitting over and every time say something, hallelujah! I don't want that kind of devil around either. I said, I don't want that kind of devil around either. But I love to hear a person, you're preaching along, you know, and they're listening. And after a while, they listen a little more. And after a while, you see them bent over about like this. After a while, they just can't help it. Glory to God, hallelujah. And you just feel it go all over the audience, you know. I like that kind of amen. Or somebody sitting there that's real sober-like, and you're preaching something, they believe, and they say, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. I like that, you know. That is real living, folks. So, I want to worship the Lord. I like to worship the Lord. I like to see people worship the Lord. I don't like to have to say, Brother Taylor, say amen. Come on, folks, say amen. Let's clap our hands, folks. I like folks that can clap their hands on their own. I like folks that can say hallelujah on their own. And sometimes I say to you, let's say hallelujah. Because I know that you don't want to get out of order. But the thing is, you're not out of order when you're praising the Lord. When you praise God, like a while ago when Willie was singing that song, I said, amen. Hallelujah. I know Willie must have heard me. Maybe you couldn't hear me, but Willie probably heard me. Because I could feel the presence of God. And I want to feel the presence of God. Somebody, you know, they come to church and say, bless God, I don't feel nothing tonight. If I felt something, I'd say hallelujah. I can assure you, you ain't never going to feel nothing. You know, that's just like going on a man's job and Friday comes and you say, well, ain't he going to pay me? I don't believe he's going to pay me. And if somebody comes up and says, well, he ain't, you didn't work this week. Let's give the Lord a thank. But I'll tell you what, if you'll come to church and you'll put a little effort into it, and you'll put a little praise into it, a little hallelujah into it, God inhabits the praise of his people. And the Bible said God rewards every man according to his works. And if you'll put a little effort into it, you'll get something out of it. I don't come to church so I can say, I wish Brother Taylor get in the Spirit so I could feel good. Preacher, he just don't look to me like he's never in the Spirit. I want to come to church and say, hallelujah, Brother Taylor. And then I'll put something into Brother Taylor. And if he feels good one night, he'll put something into me. I want to be to where I can praise the Lord. And I want to be to where I can stand in the gap for you. Maybe it's a bad day for you. And maybe you're a good Christian, but your faith is all cast down and the devil just planning to plow your field that day. And the Bible said, pray one for another. I want to be praying somewhere while you're praying for me. And on that day when you're cast down and you just can't get your faith up, I just want to have my faith way up and God just pouring out heavenly blessings on you all day because of my faith. And a week later when my faith is down, I just want to get a rainfall from heaven because you're believing when I'm all cast down. Because that's when I need it. That's when I need it. It's when I'm cast down that I need it. Somebody said, I'm praying for you, Brother Pike. Ain't no need to pray for me if I'm on the mountaintop and shouting. I've already got plenty of joy. Pray for somebody that needs it. Oh, you said you shouldn't do that. Jesus said, why weep for me? He said, you better weep for your children. If they do this to a green tree, what are they going to do to the dry? See, put up your prayers for yourself. Unless you feel that we should pray one for another, and you're praying that God will help me in the time of my problem, and God will open doors for me that I might evangelize the world. Ain't no need of praying for me when I'm on the mountaintop. I got plenty of joy then. I want to pray for somebody that's in the valley that needs some help. Somebody says, I believe you've got a great ministry. I see you on television. I see you here. I see you there. I see you everywhere. I want to give to your ministry. That ain't worth 15 cents. Give to somebody that needs something. That fellow, he's pulling it by the thousands. He'll get plenty anyway. Find somebody that needs some help out there somewhere. That's just like a man that's rich. You say, you got nice cars and you got plenty of money. I'd love to give you 1,000. God is going to bless you for that. But find a widow, find an orphan, find somebody that can't help themselves. And the Bible said, give to somebody that can't give back to you, and then God will bless you. For he that lendeth to the poor, or giveth to the poor, he lendeth unto God, and God will repay him. You understand what I'm saying? So let's pray one for another that God will help one another, that when they're in the valley, when they're cast down, that we can stand in the gap for them. But when we rejoice, don't go around praying for somebody that's rejoicing. That's not the ones to pray for. Go around rejoicing with them. The Bible said, weep with them that weep, rejoice with them that rejoice. See, and pray with them that pray. Let's pray one for another. And when we come to church, let's get in and bring a blessing. Like a great man said one time, don't say, what can my country do for me? Say, what can I do for my country? So when you come to church, don't come like a pig trying to figure out what you can get out of the church. Come like a son of God with the power of God saying, I want to do something to help. I want to do something to help. Don't sit around and say, I'm so poor, I'm so poor, I'm so poor. Did you know that is a number one denial of your sonship? There has never been and never will be a poor son of God. Did you know a son of God? If you was a son of a millionaire, you wouldn't be poor. Did you know that? If he was the right kind of dad and he was a millionaire and you was his son, you couldn't be poor unless you was just rebellious and run off and wouldn't have it. Isn't that right? There is no such thing as a poor son of God. He is a God. He owns all things. And the Bible said all things are his. He is not poor. He is a king. He is bone of his bone as to the Father and flesh of his flesh. And the Bible said all things are his. And whatever he asks is in my name, I'll give it to him. So we're not a poor people. We are rich people. God said, I'll supply all of your needs according to my riches and glory. I'll make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I'll feed you with the heritage of Jacob. I'll make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. My blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. If you'll delight yourself in me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. So when you confess poverty, then that means that you are not a son of God. You're in unbelief. You understand what I'm saying? So we're rich in faith. We're rich in the blessings of God. We can have the desire of our heart. We don't have to live in the old devilish house of horror. We are a new house. We are a new world. We are a new people. We are in the world of joy and a world of peace. Riding upon the high places of the earth. Owning everything in heaven and earth. We are powerful gods that's walking the earth. The Bible said, ye are gods, but ye shall die like men from the lack of knowledge. Because you don't know your gods. Because you haven't been taught your gods. Because you haven't been taught this great sonship. Then you die like men. You wobble and bobble and stagger about like a drunk man, the Bible says. because you don't know the power of sonship. You don't know that you own all things and that all things are yours. I don't have to live in a hut across the track. I'm speaking spiritually, and you don't have to do it naturally either. I ought to be willing to do it. But the thing is, God wants us to be blessed. I was just telling you that little vision, and I kind of got into a chain of thoughts there as to what this thing is and being a Christian. Somebody says it's such a hard way to go. I'm just barely getting by, Brother Pike. And I think, you poor hypocrite, why don't you get born again? Oh, somebody said, Brother Pike, you ought to not feel like that. Well, you tell me how I ought to feel. I could say, I don't feel like doing that. I do feel like going across the track and going over to his little hut and saying, Brother, did you know that you've got a heavenly Father and you don't have to eat out of the hog pen and you don't have to fill your belly with the husk and the blessing of the Lord maketh rich and you can live on the other side of the track? Somebody said, what are you talking about the track, Brother Pike? Well, you know, the railroad is a type. Everything in this world is a type and a shadow of some spiritual thing. And the railroad is a type. The train is a type of the old serpent. When he goes through the land, he makes the earth shake. You know, the old puff, puff, puff train, you know? And the crossings means death. They know it relates back to Calvary. You have to watch out for the crossing. And some people that live on the other side of the track, they're just dead. They don't have anything. They don't know nothing about the world or anything in it that's good. So they cross over on the other side of the track and they become rich and wealthy and they find out there's something to live for. Now that's a spiritual allegory, because we who live on the other side of the track, when we're born into this world, we're dead. The Bible said they that live in trespasses and the pleasure, they're in sin, they're dead while they live on the other side of the track. But when you get to know God, you move across the track. The Bible said we overcome death. We know that we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So we get on the other side of the track and then we're living because we passed over death and we know that God is on our side. So then we don't need to go around with a defeated faith. We don't need to come into the church all cast down and all bound down and half alive. And, you know, we leave home and the wife is saying, well, ain't she going to make no more money than that? I don't know how we're going to pay the bills. And the husband's like, I'm working all the time. I'm doing all I know to do. You know, and here they go. And then they go to church and say, hallelujah, hallelujah. And they ain't got a hallelujah in their heart. I'm telling you the truth. You know, you need somebody that can sit at home and say, honey, do you love Jesus like I love Jesus? And he said, well, sure. So, well, glory to God, we ain't got a thing to worry about. We ain't got a thing to worry about. Not a thing. Somebody says, well, Brother Pike, you've got to remember that Jesus was born in a manger. I know he was, so I wouldn't have to be born in one. He went to Calvary and died too. Suffered so that I wouldn't have to suffer. And he went into hell too. The Bible said God suffered not his Holy One's soul to remain in hell so that my soul wouldn't have to go to hell. Isn't that right? Somebody said, well, I know him. You know, I know he suffered and I got to suffer. And I know how it was with Job, and you just have to understand. I know how it was with Job too. Job was rich and Job had everything that he wanted until finally he went through his trial and the devil knocked him down and walked on him and mistreated him till Job got tired of it, and he threw the devil off, and he got up, and he was rich again. Let's give the Lord a hand. And was happy again. Now, if you know Job, and that's the way it was with Job, then that's the way it is with you. Have you got up and cast the devil off? Have you? Run him off yourself and off the rest of them too? Job didn't just run him off himself, he ran him off the rest of them too. Because the rest of them that was miserable confidence, they had the devil on them too. He got rid of the whole thing when he got up. Somebody said, well, I know Jesus. I followed him to Calvary, and I know it's just a matter of suffering. You're sick, and you just got to go on and on, Brother Pike, and go through these things, and you just got to realize that's the way it is. I know Jesus. I know how he bled. I do too. But I know Jesus in the power of his resurrection too. How do you know that he got up? I said he got up. And he not only got up and shook the devil off, but he got up and he shook the devil off of everybody in the world that can believe it. Do you know Jesus that way? Somebody said, well, Paul said, I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. I've asked God to do that many times. I've said, Father, let me know him in the fellowship of his suffering. And I've had suffering to come many times. And I've heard a voice say, well, do you still want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering? I'd say, yes, sir. And after many days and many weeks and many months of suffering, I'd say, well, do you feel the same? I'd say, yes, sir. I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering. But also the Bible said to be made conformable to his death that I might know him in the power of his resurrection. I also know him in the power of his resurrection. For I once was dead, but now I'm alive forevermore. Somebody say hallelujah. Speaking of that, I want to read just a little bit here from chapter 24 in the first verse. It says, now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with them which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves, and departed wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk in our sand? And the one of them whose name was Cleophas answered and said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses, all the prophets, he expound unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose at the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. They told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are you troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. That's reading the chapter there, and I want you to notice something here concerning Bethany. It says, and he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Now, to me, this is a wonderful thing. We were over there just a few days ago at Bethany, me and Larry, standing around where Lazarus was resurrected, and also there at the Mount of Olives. We were there at the place of ascension. And I was just thinking, as I was standing there looking and thinking how that he ascended up into heaven, I thought, now I'm standing here, and Jesus was right over here, and all of a sudden from the earth, he just went right straight up with these men standing around him. He just went right straight up into heaven, and while they were standing, gazing, never having seen anything like that in their life, a man standing with them, and all of a sudden he just loses gravitation and keeps going until he disappears into the heavens. And all of a sudden here stands an angel beside them saying, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing into the heavens? For this same Jesus that you saw go away shall so come again in like manner as ye have seen him go. And so then I thought, now here we are. Now it's not long before that same Jesus that these men of Galilee that's dead and gone, these men of Galilee, they saw him go, but it's not long before we which are alive and remain at that time shall see him coming right back down just the way that he went away. Just according to the Holy Scriptures, he's coming right back down. That's why I say what I do. When I say what I do about the ascension and the resurrection, I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. I want to know him in the fellowship of his suffering, Brother Taylor. I want to suffer with him. I want to feel pain. I want to feel misery. I have felt pain. I have felt misery. I've seen days and weeks and months when I had such misery, day and night, 24 hours around the clock, that it seemed like it hardly ever ceased. Because I asked God to let me know him in the fellowship of his suffering. Because I know that I'll never know him in the power of his resurrection if I don't know him in the fellowship of his suffering. And another thing is, I think, Lord, you suffer for me. Why can't I suffer for you? I know that we do suffer for God. We fast, we pray, we give up things. A lot of people, they don't suffer for God. They don't fast, they don't pray, they don't take any time in solitude, they don't have any self-denial, they don't do without anything. They don't lay aside anything for God. They don't do without anything for Christ's sake. They don't miss a meal for God. They don't sacrifice any of the things as to giving their financial help or aid to God. They've got a little system that they work through life to the convenience of their own flesh. And they feather their nest and they get them a little home and they get them cars and they get them money in the bank and they take care of all of the things that they've got. You know, they watch after them day and night. And these are for their convenience because they want to be comfortable. They don't want any interruptions of life. They don't want any hardships. They don't want anything in their life that causes them to have to make a sacrifice, because the devil is in their flesh. And the devil savors the things that be of the world. He's the prince of the world. And he savors the things that be of the flesh, so he doesn't want any interruptions in life. He wants his belly full all the time. The Bible saying that God has put the old serpent on his belly, and all of his labor is for his belly, because his belly craves it of him. So he's got to go to the store with regularity. Every weekend he's got to go to the store, and he's got to fill that little buggy up, and he's got to fill those cabinets up, or he's got to fill that freezer up, so that that belly don't never want, day or night. See, and he's got to have the little nest egg over here. And then when he gets everything just the way he wants it, it's just like God said to the rich man. When the rich man said, I'll tear down my barns, I'll build me some greater barns, I'll fill them up. I know that's what I'll do. And God said, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. And then when everybody gets everything convenient, like the American people are doing right now, they're coming together, they're doing... I've got all kind of retirement plans. Everything is fine. We're going to have money in the bank. We're going to have us a little place out here so we can piddle around, you know, and make a hobby out of planting a garden. And we're going to run down to the shore. We're going to have us a boat down there where we can run down to the shore. And we can go boating, you know. We can go out on the lakes and all of these kind of things. And we're going to just lay back and say, soul, take thine ease. We're going to retire. We're going to get us a good automobile. We're going to have some money in the bank. We're going to educate our children. We're going to see that they have a college education, so that when they grow up, they won't have any problem feeding their belly. Let's give the Lord a hand. That way they can feed their bellies all their life and be happy. You know, because they've got a good education. We'll introduce them to the old tree of knowledge, and they'll come out with a degree from some bald-headed professor, and he'll tell them how to crook and cheat all of their lives so they can have a good living, and how to enslave the working man that doesn't have any education. Somebody say hallelujah. Then the world, they say, tell it like it is. That's the way it is, folks. So then that means that if we're going to serve God, I'll go with him through the garden. There's going to have to be a self-denial. You're going to have to know him through the fellowship of his suffering. For the Bible said, woe unto them that are at ease in Zion. He speaks of the church having a name that it lives when it's dead. For the Bible said, they that live in trespasses and sin are dead while they live. They that live in pleasure, they're dead while they live. They've got a name that they live, but they're dead. And the Bible says, they say that we have need of nothing. We're rich. But the Bible said they're wretched, they're naked, and they're blind, and they can't see afar off. So then he said, I counsel of you, you bring me some raiment that's been tried in the fire. Did you know I have to put on the body of the Lord Jesus? The Bible said, put you on the Lord Jesus. Make no provisions for your flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. See, there's only one body. There's only one raiment that's been tried in the fire. That's his body. He passed through the chambers of hell for me. And the powers of hell had no power over him. And today I'm bone of his bone and I'm flesh of his flesh. And I'm resurrected because I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Somebody said, well, I don't feel like I am. Well, you're not resurrected then. You're not resurrected. That old worm goes into the fire where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. God said to Jacob, thy worm, I'll help thee. And he looked down on me and he said, thy worm, George Pike, I'll help thee. And I said, for God's sake, do. And he did. And the first thing he did to me, he killed me and got rid of the worm and made a heavenly butterfly out of me. And I've been, ever since the metamorphosis, I've been flying around in heaven. And the Bible said I passed from death unto life, and am no more in the flesh but in the spirit. And there's no condemnation to them that in Christ Jesus. And the Bible teaches that we that are in heaven, the devil can't touch us. For he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. Somebody say hallelujah. All right, so then he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Some people will never be able to even go out into their own city, their own county, to preach the gospel or tell anybody about God, because they're so wishy-washy, so straddle of the fence, so halfway, so half-hearted. until they stand at the door and they don't go in. And everybody else that sees them says, if that's a Christian, I believe I'll stay where I'm at. Somebody says, come and go with me to church. Come and go with me to church. Says, it's going to be rough. I got the backache and the headache and I don't know. I believe I can make it. Let's try to go over there this morning. Come on, folks. Somebody said, we can't stay through the whole service. We're going fishing. We're going hunting. We're going boating. Or my wife has cooked a special dinner and the relatives is coming. Come on, folks. I had a man here. He come early in the morning. Stay a few minutes just to hypocrite around and deceive me and ease out the door to go to the barber shop and work all day long. And when I got to talking about having some hypocrites that come early in the morning to do that, he left the church. Bless God, he said, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. That old devil said, bless God, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. I said, that old devil said, bless God, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. Hallelujah. Somebody said, now, he wasn't a devil. He was a fine gentleman. He loved the Lord. He served God. Well, why is he such a devil out there now in what he's doing? I said, he turned out, when he got out there, he went to doing the horrible, horrible, devilish things that had a hold of him to begin with. His wife started doing the devilish things that I told my wife she would do if she could ever get loose. And the other person that was with him done the devilish things too. See, so I say again, when you talk about the backsliders, Brother Pike, so many wonderful people have backslid on God, and I know they're drinking and cursing and all them things, and they've been such a wonderful Christian, Brother Pike, and we need to get out there and get them. You better leave that bunch of devils alone, I'm telling you. Somebody said, why, Brother Pike, them was children of God. Them ain't never been children of God. God don't have no children that does that. Somebody said, but I know they were. No, you don't. You just having a hallucination. You got a brainstorm. It's like a computer out of control. If you knew the scripture, you'd understand. The Bible said if they had have been of us, they no doubt would have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest they were not of us. They were in the midst of us, but they were not of us. The Bible said all of them came out of Egypt. They were not of Israel. They were not of the tribes of God. And with many of them, God was not well pleased because they turned back into Egypt in their heart. A lot of them devils came into the church for one thing. The Bible said when the sons of God came to present themselves, the devils came also. That is, they're living in people. And while the blood is on the seat of atonement, they come and they mix and mingle with you to act real religious, just like Cain did, just like Jesus said, I've chosen 12 of you and one of you is a devil. And he walked right with the others, had the protection of the blood while the blood's on the seat of atonement. We have it as to the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, though Jesus had not died for remission of sin other than in the foreknowledge of God. But there it was. There was the protection, and it continued until the devil entered into Judas when God lifted the blood covering from him. And the devil entered into him. And the Bible said he obtained part of that ministry and failed the transgression. And there was Esau. Esau had the right as the firstborn. He had the birthright, but he didn't care about it. He'd rather hunt. Glory to God. That don't set too good, does it? Hallelujah. He'd rather go fishing, rather go hunting. The Bible said in the last days, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Somebody said, well, I don't see anything wrong with it. Well, it's fine. You're the ones doing it. I don't care to do it. I did it before I become a Christian. I've got too many things to do now outside of that. You say, well, you think it's a sin. You know what really gets next to me? What really gets next to me is people, religious people, they don't want to put away nothing unless they think it's sin. That's not a Christian. Why is it you don't want to put away anything except what you think is a sin? Paul said all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me. It's not a sin. I'm justified by faith. But he said those things are not expedient. They don't edify. See, Jesus said I must be about my Father's business. Peter said I go fishing. Jesus said if you love my lambs, follow me. Oh, but I'm fishing. He said, now, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men. So that's what you was doing when I got you. Come on, folks. That's what I was doing when he got me. That's what I was doing when he got me. Amen. From the time I get home to work, a pond behind my house, I'd go fishing while Betty fixed my supper. That's what I was doing when he got me, when he said, follow me. You love the Lord?
Hallelujah.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now, somebody says, well, there's one thing about it. Oh, golf player out yonder trying to play golf and serve God. Oh, golf player said, fell over hunting all the time when he could play golf. Six of one, half a dozen of another. It's just whatever you like to do. Somebody said, well, I think it's just ungodly to be out there playing golf. Ain't bad as blowing an animal's brains out. Somebody say hallelujah. I'm talking about the way things really are, folks. You know, we get warped up in our minds and we look at a thing in one way when it's not that way altogether. God would rather we'd beat a half a dozen balls and go around blowing the brains of animals out. If you was hungry, God could go along with that. The Indians did it because they were hungry. That was their cattle. Even they made the statement, said the white man, he's crazy. Said he won't have nothing to eat after a while. He goes around in what he calls sports. Even over in Africa, those people are supposed to be heathens over there. But over in Africa, they got enough sense to know this, that you're coming in there and killing out their game, their big game, and they put a stop to it because they saw you was killing all of them out. And even those hungry people over there don't do that bad. I saw buffaloes, just herds of buffaloes. They've got tens of thousands of buffaloes that migrate from one place to another. They don't go in there and kill them out. And a lot of hungry folks over there. You love the Lord? Somebody say hallelujah. I'm going to let you go in a few minutes. It ain't that late. You wouldn't even be through seeing the late show yet. All right. So then what are we doing? Somebody says, glory to God, I'm a Christian, Brother Pike. I live for God every day. How many souls have you won? How many times have you done anything in the mission field? How much sacrifice have you made with prayer and fasting? How many neighbors have you ever invited to come to church? How many times have you ever went out into the highways and hedges and compelled them to come in? Many of you stand at the door and you're so wishy-washy, half-hearted, always complaining, cast down, don't care much about God or anything else, just as gullible as you can be, spending, buying, no moderation, no temperance and nothing. And people out there, you're invited to church or someone else is inviting to church, they say, no, I don't want none of that. Say, I'm a lot happier than those folks are. Man, I believe in doing something like somebody told me a few days ago. They said, I was talking to them about God. They said, well, I'm telling you the way I believe this thing. They said, I believe that you're supposed to do something for the needy. I said, that's the way I believe in religion, that you're supposed to do something for the needy. The Bible says pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this, that you visit the orphans and the widows and their afflictions and them. Keep yourselves unspotted from the world. Folks, if you're not feeding the orphans and the widows, if you are not doing something for them, you don't have any pure religion. Oh, somebody says, I shout, I sing, I speak in tongues. I can't help it, you ain't got nothing. Oh, somebody says, Brother Pine, don't never tell nobody they ain't got nothing if they speak in tongues. Speaking in tongues don't mean you got the Holy Ghost. Somebody says, you don't believe that's the Holy Ghost? Sure, a lot of times people speak in tongues, it is the Holy Ghost. Then you say they got the Holy Ghost. No, it's just the rain on the tare, just like it is on the wheat. Somebody said, wait a minute, Brother Pike, you can't do that. That's the Holy Ghost. Oh, yes, I can do that. The Bible said that Saul went over there with murder in his heart. He was going to kill David, and he got up there and prophesied so much, they thought he was one of the prophets. That was the Holy Ghost. Did you know that that was the Holy Ghost? He prophesied because the Bible teaches the Spirit of God fell upon him. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, let's take another case. The Bible said Balaam loved the things of this world. And God had him killed because of his foolishness. But he prophesied and prophesied, and the Bible said whatever he said would come to pass, and he could see the Lord in a trench with his eyes open. Spiritual gifts, folks, don't prove nothing. That don't prove nothing. Oh, somebody says, give me some Bible for that, Brother Pike. The Bible says if you have faith to move a mountain and you don't have charity, you ain't nothing. Don't profit you nothing. All right, so then we are believers because we believe what the Bible says. Then we are Christians because we're saved by faith that cometh by the hearing of the Word of God. Last days, many shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Or that is to say, they'll have their own church program, they'll have their own doctrine. They indoctrinate themselves as to believe what they want to, but when it comes to the Word of God, it doesn't fit the Word of God at all. So the Bible tells us in this day to examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith. Or that is, if our believing is in the Word of God. You love the Lord?
Amen.
Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Like a woman came to our house a year or so ago. She came to our house. She's sitting here now. She came into the house. I was going to try to talk with her, me and my wife. The first thing I did, I picked up a haughty spirit. A haughty spirit, an overconfident spirit. And I thought, my woman, you're full of the devil. You love the Lord? Let's tell the truth about it, because that's the way it is. Let me tell you, folks, when God speaks to you, the Bible speaks of the ministry, not Him speaking, but God speaking from within Him. When God speaks to you and God speaks His word, you don't stick your head around this way and up this way and down this way to let the devil try to make the preacher think that you're not interested. See, he knows, he's got discernment. He knows you're interested, but he knows that you're in rebellion and it's the devil that's got a hold of you, and you're trying to make it appear that you understand and you know when you don't know nothing, and you're like a little fly bound by a spider web, and the devil is closing in for the kill all the time. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You can't fool God. You can't play games with God. See, what you need to do is get straightened out. You need to repent of your sins and get your sins out. Get them away from you. Turn away from those things and stop worrying about what is right and what is not right. Whatever the Bible says, that is what is right. Whatever it says is right is right. What it says isn't right, that isn't right. And stop worrying about as to whether it's sin or not sin. If it doesn't please God, if it isn't like God, if it doesn't edify, if it isn't to the building up of the kingdom of God in the earth, the establishing of the kingdom, you need to leave it alone. We need to be like God. Somebody said, well, what do you expect out of us, Brother Pike? Just what God asks of us. What does He ask of us? The Bible said, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, giving ourselves, even our bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, to meditate in His laws day and night. Let's give Him another hand. All right. This is what I'm speaking of. We could go on and go on and go on. But this is what I'm speaking of, is that if we're going to serve God, we're going to have to conform to God, to be renewed by the transformating of our minds, to prove what is the good and acceptable will of God, to give ourselves wholly unto it, that our profiting may appear to all. Not basing our experience on any kind of gift, any kind of spiritual experience, like speaking in tongues or prophesying or seeing visions. A man is a fool. I said he is a fool to base his experience on that. God is love. The foundation is charity. And you're to base your experience on charity. And when you've got charity, then you've got all of it. But you can speak with the tongues of angels and the tongues of men. And you can have all faith so that you can move mountains. But let me tell you, if you don't have charity, you don't have the Holy Ghost. You don't have the Spirit of God. You don't have His leadership. There is but one God. He is love. He is love. It's like we preached in Kenya, that if there is but one God, He is Jesus Christ. And if there's but one God, then where is the place for Allah and Buddhists and all of the other gods. He said, I stretched out the heavens alone. I was there by myself. No one helped me. He said, where is another God? I know not of any. There's one God. There's one faith. There's one baptism. There's one Lord. And when we understand this, hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart. And as Brother Taylor says, when we're speaking of seeing God on the mountain, no man has ever seen God at any time. And no man's ever going to see God at any time. There's no such thing as seeing God. He's the great light under which no man can approach. But Jesus Christ alone, which is the fullness of the Godhead, bodily. The Bible says, and he alone dwells in that light. And he alone hath the immortality. And if we're going to have immortality, we're going to be part of that body because nothing else is ever going to dwell in that light. That light is understanding. That light is understanding. That light is the great wisdom and knowledge of all eternity. And darkness is intellectual reasoning that comes from the devil through the tree of knowledge. So then Paul turned my people from darkness to light. We're going to have to understand that it is the Lord. Even the Old Testament speaks of the Lord. There is no human body except the Lord. There never was a human body except the Lord. There never will be a human body except the Lord. So then God the Heavenly Father is a spirit. And the Bible said to see God, you cannot live and see God. There's no way to live and see God. That's why Israel feared. If they knew if they saw God, they'd die. And said, you cannot live and see God. But the Bible said the pure in heart shall see God, for God is a spirit. And Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that dwells in the bosom of the Spirit, hath declared the Heavenly Father. And the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, you can comprehend the heights, the depth, the width, and the length of this great, wonderful Spirit God and this great, wonderful Spirit world, which is hid from the eyes of men. The kingdom of God cometh not by human observation. That's why Paul went blind when he saw the light. But it does come by faith in God through the heavenly understanding of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And that's why we sing the song that time shall be no more. You people that are not spiritual, that are listening to my voice right now, you people that are not spiritual will never see God. Never. You'll never see God because God is a spirit. And the only way that you can see him is through the eyes of understanding. So then, let's stand together tonight. Let's think on these things and give ourselves wholly unto them that our providence may appear to all. When we get to heaven, what are we going to see? We're going to see Jesus Christ sitting on the throne. Somebody said, I will see him sitting on the right hand of the Father. That's true, which means power. Oh, no. Somebody says he'll be sitting on the right hand and God will be sitting in the middle. No. Jesus Christ will be sitting in the middle and Moses and Elijah will be sitting one on the right and one on the left. Let's give the Lord a hand. He said, where is that? Look on the Mount of Transfiguration. You'll see that they appeared in glory with him. James and John, the mother said, I would something of you. And the Lord said, what? That my sons may set one on the right hand and one on the left hand of you in your glory. So this is not mine to give. It'll be given to whom it's prepared for. And Moses and Elijah appeared on the right and left in glory. Now why did you say that? Because that proves that somebody is going to sit on the right and left hand of Jesus. Isn't that right? Somebody said, well, where is the Father going to be? Where he's always been. Thomas said, I want to see the Father. Jesus said, have I been with you so long and yet you've not known me? Hallelujah. Have I been with you so long? The Bible said Jesus was the fullness of God, not part of God. You have a part of God. Every person has a measure of God. But Jesus didn't have a measure of God. God dwelt in Jesus in the fullness. He was the given or expressed image of God. Not only that, he was the fullness of God, which means God never does anything in any way at any time or never has. except through Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word, Jesus Christ. And the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. So that is to say, this great, wonderful Jesus that walked this earth was God among His people. And He went about doing good to show that He was the Lord of lords and He was the King of kings. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one God, one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all of thy strength. So when Israel rejected Jesus, they rejected God. They've never had any light since. Partially blinded. But one day, they'll have light. I say again, Moses saw the hind part, which means from Calvary back to the garden. That's all he could see. And the Jews were blinded in part, which means that they did not see the other side of Calvary, which is the face of Almighty God, because you cannot see the face of God and live. But you and I saw the face of God. We see Him face to face, not through a glass darkly, as an allegoric type, as Moses said, or as Jesus, as Paul said, that the veil of death as to the intellectual reasoning is still over the minds of the people in the reading of the Old Testament, which is taken away in Christ, only in Christ. But today we're not looking through a glass darkly, we're seeing Him as face to face. And we are dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. He made it possible. We pass from death unto life. And we're not in this world. He's chosen us out of the world as to the inner man. And we're only waiting for the changed as to what we call to wit the redemption of our body. Great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh. Seen of angels. Caught up into heaven. Let's sing a chorus together, can we? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight. Now I am happy all the day. For at the cross, where we first saw the light, and the burdens of our heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. For there's room at the cross for you. Can you sing that with me? Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there is still room for one. There is room at the cross. Can you sing that with me? There's room at the cross for you. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. And although many have come, there's still room for one. For there's room at the cross for you. I love Him. I love Him. All because that He first loved me. And He purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. altars are open. I love him. Can you sing it with me? I love all because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. You love the Lord? Let's sing this little chorus. Give me a key, friend. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. For I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now. Can you sing that with me? It was grace that taught my heart to fear. My fears relieved, and how precious did that grace appear. It was the hour that I first believed. And when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. I'm gonna wear a crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown. In the new Jerusalem, I'll wear a crown. Wear a crown. I'll wear a bright, shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. I'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear that bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Come one more time. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear a crown. We'll wear the bright and shiny crown. For when this battle is over, I'm gonna wear a crown in the new Jerusalem. Send us some rain, Lord. Send us some rain, Lord. Send us your letting rain. For we need some rain, Lord. We need some rain, Lord. We need the latter rain. For there's power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in the latter rain. For there's power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in your ladder rain. So we want your rain, Lord. We want your rain, Lord. We want your ladder rain. Oh, we want the rain, Lord. We want your rain, Lord. We want your ladder. Can you sing that with me? So send us the rain, Lord. Send us your rain, Lord. Send us your light of rain. Oh, send us your rain, Lord. Send us your rain, Lord. Send us your light of rain. For there's healing in the rain, Lord. Healing in the rain, Lord. Healing's in the light of rain. Oh, there's healing in the rain, Lord. Healing in the rain, Lord. Healing in the light of rain. So send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us light of rain. Oh, send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us the light of rain. For there's glory in the rain, Lord. Your glory's in the rain, Lord. Your glory's in the light of rain. Oh, there's glory in the rain, Lord. Glory in the rain, Lord. Glory in the light of rain. Sing it with me now. So we want the rain, Lord. We want the rain, Lord. We want the light of rain. Can you sing it? Oh, we want the rain, Lord. We want the rain, Lord. We want your light of rain. Again. Oh, send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us the light of rain. Oh, send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us the light of rain. One more time. For there's power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in the light of rain. Oh, there's power in the rain, Lord. Power in the rain, Lord. Power in the light of rain. If you need your healing, the songwriter says there's healing in the rain, Lord. There's healing in the rain, Lord. And you know, you might not believe this, but when you're singing, if you can believe, a lot of times when you're singing, it does something for your spirit. That's why I have you to sing like this. It does something for your spirit, and it lets you get loose. You know, you need to turn your faith over into the hands of God, and you need to turn your faith loose. The way you try to believe God, you never be healed. You've got to turn your faith loose in God. You've got to get loose in God. You know, your believing gets bound down like a fly in a spider web. And it's little old things that you do. The little foxes spoil the vines. Isn't it the Bible said our vines have tender grapes? And if you ever do get healed, you're going to have to really believe, folks. You know, this intellectual believing where you go down, you go around and you say, bless God, I believe, bless God, I believe, bless God, I believe. There ain't no need of wasting your time and wasting God's time. That ain't faith. Faith is when you begin to worship God. And all of a sudden something cries out on the inside and you feel all broken up. And maybe a tear will twinkle down the cheek and you say, oh, hallelujah, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. That's faith, because something's crying from on the inside. See, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. That's faith, folks. And that brings healing. That brings miracles. That brings blessings. That's why I get you to sing, is to get you to turn loose. That's why we sing it. We're going to sing it again. Can we sing it? Oh, there's healing in the rain, Lord. There's healing in the rain, Lord. Healing in the ladder. I preached the other night on the latter rain. The former rain moderately, and then the outpouring of God's Spirit upon all flesh from Calvary. Pouring out His Spirit upon your sons and daughters. They'll prophesy, young men will see visions, old men will dream dreams, and on my handmaidens in that day I'll pour out of my Spirit and they'll prophesy. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some of you couldn't prophesy. There ain't no way in the world you could prophesy. You feel such little of God's Spirit and you've turned yourself loose such little in God's Spirit. You couldn't dance in the Spirit. You couldn't prophesy in the Spirit. There ain't no way. But I'll tell you one thing. When you get out of your old intellectual, religious, hypocritical ways, and you begin to love God and worship God and serve God with your heart, the Bible said you confess me with your lips, your heart is far from me. But when you begin to love God with your heart and get out of your stiff, starchy way of life, then you'll prophesy, then you'll see visions, then you'll believe, then things will happen in your life, then you'll have victory, and somebody will say, glory to God, that person is a Christian right there. Come on, folks. Well, there's healing in the rain, Lord. Healing in the rain, Lord. Healing in the light, oh, rain. Can you sing? Can you sing from your heart? Can you sing from your heart? Come on, folks. The Bible said make a joyful noise to the Lord. Isn't that right? The Bible also said make a loud noise unto the Lord. Can you sing? Oh, there's healing in the rain, Lord. Healing in the rain, Lord. Healing in. Come on now. So send us the rain, Lord. Send us the rain, Lord. Send us the latter rain. Oh, send us your rain, Lord. Send us your rain, Lord. Send us your latter rain. For we want the rain, Lord. We want the rain, Lord. We want the latter rain. Oh, we want the rain, Lord. We want the rain, Lord. We want your latter rain. Do you love him? Let's worship the Lord just a few minutes more, and then we're going to let you go. We're glad to have these people here with us, but I like to worship the Lord. I love to worship the Lord with our visitors. I love to worship the Lord without our visitors. I love to worship the Lord with the congregation. I love to worship the Lord when I get by myself at home. If there's nobody there but me and the Lord, I love to worship the Lord. I love to serve God from my heart. I love to pour out my heart to God. I don't have any other plans, no reservation of heart. I'm not using religion as a sideline. I'm not just trying to serve the Lord over here as a sideline and work and make money out there and be something in the world on the other side. I don't want to be nothing in the world. Oh, somebody says, but Brother Pike, you know that God lifts up them that serve him. I know he does if we really serve him. David, I've taken you from among the sheepcote. I've given you a name like unto the great men of the earth. Because when we magnify God, then God magnifies us so we can magnify God the more. Isn't that right? See, but we don't need sidelines. You men are foolish that's got some idea about some career and some great thing you're going to be over here and something that you're going to be in the world and that you want to get into this and you want to get into that. That's foolishness with God. Somebody says, well, I could be great for God. I could get famous and I could be a great celebrity and then everybody would look at me and I could introduce them to Jesus. Now, isn't that some crazy, idiotic idea? He's God of heaven and he's everything and he's above senators and kings and everything else and they're no more than a peon in his sight. Are you listening to me? They're considered a worm in his sight. And here you are, you're going to get to be a big worm so that you can introduce the people to God because you're great and mighty and you'll try to pick up this poor, lowly God so somebody will notice him. Let's give God a hand. Don't you know that's, you know they got a word they call stupid. I say so often, I don't use that word because it's so strong, but if there's a place for it, that would be the place you'd use, stupid. Let's give him another hand. Because nobody could be any more ignorant than that. Paul said, I would not have you ignorant. Folks, God doesn't need you as a worm to lift him up. God said, thy worm Jacob, I'll help thee. David, I've taken thee from among the sheepcote. I've given you a name like unto the great men of the earth. What he wants you to do is love him with all of your heart because you're the greatest, most outstanding people in all the world. You're not just human beings, you are gods. I say this again and again. Jesus said you're gods. If he said you're gods, I don't care who disputes it, you're gods. You're gods. A god is something that can't die, and there's no way you can die. Oh, somebody says, wait till you put them in the coffin and throw the dirt over them, and then you'll know. I say again, Lazarus sleepeth, but he's far from being dead. He's passed from death unto life. Jesus said, I'll wake him. And somebody said, well, six and one half a dozen of the other. No, it ain't either. There's a world of difference, nothing less than a world of difference. The inner man can never die when he's born again. It's not possible. But he's dead in trespasses and sin before he's born again. Has to be resurrected by God. And this outer man is going to be changed. And I tell you that we're going to come to an understanding to where they will not put this outer man in a box and throw dirt over him. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all be put in the box and the dirt thrown over us. He said, but we'll be changed. We'll not all sleep, but be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. Somebody said, yeah, I know at the last trump, but isn't it something how that Enoch did not wait till the last trump? Somebody said, you don't think he did? Yes, he waited till the last trump. But the only thing is, he heard the trump early. It was the last trump, but he heard it way back over here at the beginning of the world. Somebody said, well, he'll come back and die. Well, the scripture will be broke if he does, because the Bible said he passed on from this world into the next one that he might not see death. He was translated that he might not see death. Somebody say hallelujah. I know what goes through some of his mind. But nevertheless, that's the way it is. That's what the Bible says. They that God sendeth will speak his word. Can we sing another chorus or two? Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord, the Joshua said, we're on the other side of Jordan. My people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander. From Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the others, that you shall be free. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord. My people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander. From Egypt bondage free. And when you reach the other side, you shall be free. One more time. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander. From Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall be free. You know, Jordan is the carnal mind. To be carnal minded is death. Isn't that right? So then we've got to get over carnal reasoning. We've got to get over the human mind. Get rid of our own mind. Bring every thought into subjection to where we have nothing but the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in the mind of Jesus, and it will make known to you your Godship. Well, that's what the revelation of Jesus Christ is. And it was made known to him as he grew in the knowledge of God, in the stature of God, in favor with God and man. It was made known to him that he was God. You don't mess with gods. Did you know that? He said, touch not mine anointed and do my prophets no harm. Vengeance is mine, and I will repay, saith the Lord, and I'll trouble them that trouble you. And they'll come out one way before you, and I'll make them flee seven ways before you, and I'll make them to come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. The Lord of hosts shall suddenly appear within his temples, whose temples ye are, that all of the world may have to come and bow down before you and praise you. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, he can't praise man, somebody said. But Paul said, in a good thing, I praise you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. They glorify God within me. Hallelujah. One more time. Cross over to the other side of Jordan. The Lord to Joshua said, for on the other side of Jordan, my people must be led. No longer in the wilderness to wander. From Egypt bondage flee. And when you reach the other side, you shall. How many of you would really like to worship the Lord? Somebody says, fine, Brother Pike, if you don't preach too long and if you don't keep us too long, well, I'll tell you what we can do. We can preach to you. We've already done that. We can sing with you. We've already done that. Now we'll all go home and pray all night. Let's give the Lord a hand. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. Hallelujah. And the Bible said Jesus tarried all night in prayer. Have you ever tarried all night in prayer? That's when it gets sweet like honey. That's when it gets sweet like honey. All right, we'll sing another chorus or two and we're going to let you go.
He was there all the time.
Can you sing it with me?
Jesus was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there.
Can you sing it again?
For he was there all the time. Jesus was there all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was there all the time. Oh, he touched me.
Can you sing one?
Oh, yes, he touched me. And oh, joys that flood my soul. Something happened. And now I know that he touched me and he made.
Sing it with me.
Oh, for Jesus touched me. Oh, yes, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know that he touched me, and he made me
Can we sing this one that we sang so much? The stone is rolled away. Standing there at the tomb not too many days ago, I made the statement, we've been in Israel 6 times now, and I still feel like we'll go back again. But standing there at the tomb and seeing the stone rolled away, they said, the stone is great. Who shall roll it away? The angel had come and rolled it away. There's the tomb. There's the opening of the tomb. And then there's a little trench light, a little slough light that runs from over here to over here, a little trough light. And the stone is a flat stone this way, great big round stone. And they set it in this little track light, and it lays up against the opening. And someone has to be strong enough to roll that big stone like a wheel, roll it over here, to roll it over this side so that they can get into the sepulchre. There it was, rolled away. We looked, and the tomb was empty. From all evidence, it's the very tomb that Jesus lay in, because just over to it, from it a little ways, is Golgotha, the place of a skull, and you can see the stone, the huge mountainside that's made like unto a skull. Jesus, the angel said, he's not here. Why seek ye the living among the dead? At Bethlehem, we're not dead, folks. If you're not dead, lift your hands up. We're not dead. When you come here, if you come looking for the dead, you'll have to go somewhere else, because this is the land of the living. Little Bethlehem is the home of the soul. We are alive forevermore.
Gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone,
And the tomb, it's empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone over death, triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone, and he lives forevermore. For he's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone. Sit at my Father's side, for he's gone over death, triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone, and he lives. Sing it with me again. I said he's gone, for the tomb is empty, gone. I saw the tomb, it's empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. I said he's gone, I saw the tomb was empty, gone. I saw the tomb was empty, gone, and he lives forevermore. For he is gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone over death, by gone, and he lived forevermore. Let's sing this, and we're going to try to close. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It will do when you are dying. It will do when you are dying. It will do when you are dying. And it's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It is what took us up to heaven. It's what took us up to heaven. It's what took us up to heaven. That's why it's good enough for me. It's that old-time religion. It's that old-time religion. It's that old-time religion. And it's good enough. Feel like you're dwelling in heavenly places tonight? The Bible said God has made us to sit in heavenly places. We're not of this world. He's chosen us out of this world. He's taken us up to heaven. How many are dwelling in heaven tonight? Let me see your hand. It's what took us up to heaven. It's what took us up to heaven. It's what took us up to heaven, and it's good enough for me. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Do you feel like David? Do you feel like he could run through a troop and leap over a wall? Let's sing it again if you feel like that. Somebody say hallelujah. Are you getting tired or stronger all the time? All right, let's sing it. Let me hear it. Oh, give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion, 'cause it's good. Oh, it makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. Makes me love everybody. And so give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion, 'cause it's... Can you sing it with me again? Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion, 'cause it's good. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion, 'cause it's good. One more time. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Can you sing it just one more time with me? Give me that old time. Sing it like you mean it, folks. Old time religion. Old time religion, 'cause it's good. Can you lift your hands up and love the Lord tonight? Can you love the Lord? Don't just lift your hands up. Let me hear you say something. Let me hear you say something. Come on, folks. Can you say it loud enough that I can hear it? You want the Lord to hear it, don't you? Let's say it loud enough where one another can hear it tonight, can we? Father, we thank you tonight for the old time religion. God, because we know that that's the only kind of religion, the true and the undefiled religion. And Father, tonight we pray that this wonderful power of God, this wonderful gospel that makes us alive in Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that it move in my heart, and I pray that it move in the heart of every other believer tonight. I thank you for the wonderful love of God, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel like we just got to sing this little chorus. We sing it so often. We'll sing it in close. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. Can you sing that with me? Let's sing it together. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be. Sing it again. If you believe that, sing it with me. For time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel shall stand on the sea and Boland band time. We're going to sing it one more time together. Remember, the Bible said in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem us that was under the law. And the Bible said in the fullness of time, He gathered all things into heaven, in heaven and in earth, into the body of His Son, even the Lord Jesus Christ, the great, wonderful Ark of Noah. And this is as the waters of Noah to me. And so He gathered us all in. That was the fullness of time. And then the church age is set in. So tonight, we've passed from time. We've passed from time. Someone would say, but Brother Pike, I still hear the tick of the clock. The Bible said we are dead to the world. And the world is dead to us by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your outer man is dead, to reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. And at death, the Spirit went back to God who gave it. And tonight, your inner man is dwelling in heaven, and your flesh profiteth nothing. It's been buried in the lovely name of Jesus. You're reckoned for as in death, buried with Him in baptism. You're dead in the flesh, and the flesh is no more. And it's not you living, but by, as God looks down through the telescope of time, He sees you over at Thessalonians chains, as bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. And the Bible said this was given to you in Christ by foreknowledge as the elect of God before the world ever was, and brought to light at Calvary at the rent veil, when the veil was rent in twain and the gospel was preached down through the seven church ages. It's been preached to us, given to us in Christ before the world ever was, when the Lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. And the foreknowledge of God, we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God. And He hath justified us by faith. He has sanctified us by the faith which is in Christ Jesus, and perfected forever them that are sanctified, or He hath made them perfect forever. No man can lay anything to their charge. You are church without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. For he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. And we are helpers of your faith to preach this wonderful word of faith to you, and to detail it to you that you might believe. Paul said, this we wish, even the perfecting of your faith, the faith and the revealed knowledge of the wonderful, glorious things of God. For great is the mystery of godliness, and the Bible teaches that I am a steward of those mysteries. So then tonight, this that has been hid from the world is now revealed unto us, even the wonderful knowledge of God to the heavenly places. It's made known unto us. We now have this heavenly treasure in these earthen vessels, having passed from death unto life, though there be a time to die, we pass from that time to never come into the judgment, to never be condemned. For the Bible said the judgment shall begin at the house of God. It shall not be the minister speaking, but God speaking from within him. And according to your faith that you believe, then God has delivered your soul. For the Bible said that it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. And so I died, and I once was dead, to reckon myself to be dead indeed by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, but to know him in the power of his resurrection, I am now alive forevermore. I pass from death unto life, and there is no more appointment unto death for me. For the Bible said God heard the groaning of the prisoners at a time appointed. He succored them. He looked down from heaven. And at Calvary, he chose them. He put them into the body of Christ. He brought the fullness of time and delivered us from death. And he sanctified, he justified, and the Bible says he glorified us. Glorified us. Father, glorify them with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. So then we are standing in glory with him. Moses, Elijah, Jesus appeared in glory. The same glory. So, I say this so often, we worry about taking God's glory. Somebody says he'll take God's glory. Don't speak too highly of him. And the Bible said, esteem them very highly for their work's sake. Give double honor unto them. Praise them in a good thing. I say this so often, I don't have to take God's glory. I don't have to worry about anybody giving me God's glory. I've already gotten God's glory because God gave me his glory and his foreknowledge. And he said, Father, glorify these with the same glory I had with thee before the world ever was. And Moses and Elijah appeared in that glory. We're changed inwardly from glory to glory into the wonderful likeness of God. So then we pass from death. We pass from the era of time. We pass from this earth. And our inner man is now dwelling in heaven, and you're sitting in the heavenly places. So then what are we doing? We're only listening for the sounding of this last trumpet, as the finishing of the mysteries, as to the word of God. to where we can hear, where we can understand, where God can detail it to us. He can perfect our faith. Somebody said, I'm waiting, Brother Pike, when I get holy and I get godly and I quit my sucking on weeds and chewing on cud and dancing with another man's wife, and I go on and on and on. I don't know how long it'll take, but after a while I'm going to get holy and God's going to translate me. There'll never be any days like that. As a matter of fact, things are getting darker and darker, and the church is getting in worse shape than it ever was before. And the Bible said it's getting so bad that if God didn't show up the days for the elect, there wouldn't be no flesh spared, church or nothing else. Somebody say hallelujah. So then we're not waiting for that. We're waiting for the preacher to preach that last mystery, for God to make it known, the Spirit to make it known. Paul said, as a steward, come into these things, then we perfect the faith. So we're waiting for the translation as to the perfecting of faith. When your faith is perfected, as to who you are, as God's, and what you are, and how perfect you are, and God having justified and glorified you, and you say, my God, am I like that? Woo, hallelujah. And away we'll go. For the Bible said it was translated by faith, that he should not see death. Hallelujah. So then we're sanctified by the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Someone would say, well, why am I trying to do all of these good things? It sure ain't for the purpose of making you good. Because the Bible said there's none good but God. And when you get through, there still ain't going to be none good but God. And unless you're bone of that good and flesh of that good, you'll never be good. Isn't that right? So that means that we've been changed into this wonderful image of Almighty God. And that is the translation. And that is the rapture. That's what it's all about. So then, when that faith is perfect, away we'll go. And God is beginning to sound this through the land. And the mysteries are beginning to be finished. The world won't get it. Why do you speak to them in parables? Jesus said, because it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But unto you it's given. This great reserve thing for the church. So then everybody's going to get this. Because the Bible said, those that are in the world, those that are in hypocrisy, Satan has blinded their eyes, even their eyes of understanding, that they cannot see when good cometh. Having eyes they see not, having ears they hear not, lest at any time they should convert, God save them. But unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The revelation of Jesus Christ as to what it was revealed to him, as to who he was. You love the Lord? God, he's so good. None good but God. So that if we pass from death and we're never coming into condemnation, if we're never coming into the judgment, then it's appointed unto man once to die, but ain't you glad that you ain't a man no more? Hallelujah, you're sons of God. The Bible said you're gods, not men. You pass from death unto life because gods never die. Woo, somebody says, oh my God, that's what it is. Oh my God, hallelujah. Ain't you glad you're gods? Hallelujah. I'm going to say this and then we're going to sing this little chorus again. They said to Jesus said, why do you want to kill me? Why do you want to stone me? Look at the good works I've done to you. Open the eyes of the blind. Unstop the deaf ears. I made the lame to walk. For what good work do you stone me? For a good work? They said, we don't stone you. But you, being a man, make yourself God. Come on, folks. You, being a man, make yourself God. He said, I said I'm the Son of God. They said, you, being a man, make yourself God. He said, is it not written in the scriptures that I've called ye gods? If then you're called gods, and to whom the word of God came, why do you say I blaspheme? Because I say I'm the Son of God. The Bible says that Adam was the son of God. And John said, now, beloved, are ye the sons of God? Why then do you want to do that? He said, you're gods